Blog Talk Radio.
March 24th, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. I hope you're having a great day already, with special emphasis on hope. I hope you woke up with an optimistic approach to the things that are before you today. Why? Well, because hope is a good thing. You know what the dictionary describes hope as? I'm glad you asked. It says that it's the feeling that what is wanted can be had. And I will say it's annoying. It's a believing that what is wanted can be had and that events will turn out for the best. That's good stuff, isn't it? Yes, it really is. Hope is what pushes us forward. It pulls us along, puts us in the right frame of mind and action to get ourselves to the most positive and productive places, plans, and perspectives in life. That's what I believe. When hope is at its optimum and best, it means something is happening. Either you're making it happen or we are a part of what's happening. So today, I hope you are working on making this a great day, a great month, a great year, a great life. If you hope, you can do it. My guest today is an award-winning author, Marcella Scott. In 2009, she was given special recognition by Oprah Winfrey as one of the five honorees of Oprah's Ambassadors of Hope. And she is quite the incredible lady. She has numerous awards and recognitions. As she creates her legacy, she was 2013 International Book Awards finalist, 2013 National Indie Excellence Award winner, 2009 Premier Book Awards second place winner, 2009 International Book Awards finalist, 2009 National Indie Excellence Book Awards winner. She was also recognized as among 20 outstanding women you should know. Special recognition from the Congress for outstanding and valuable service to the community. From the United States Senate, recognition of advocacy to prevent child abuse and domestic violence. Also from the Ohio House of Representatives, special recognition for her humanitarian concerns and services. She's a pretty awesome woman, and I'm so glad to have her with us today. She knows a lot about what it means to have hope, and today we are going to hear more about her amazing story. Marcella? Marcella?
Thank you for having me today. It's going to be a great show.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for making yourself available to tell us about yourself. You're pretty incredible person. I loved reading your bio and Of course, I love your mission to inspire and to motivate, to let people know that they can find their own help and they can heal through some of the most incredible circumstances. So I'm anxious to share your story with our audience today. And I'm just going to start by, there was so much I had to say about you, and there's even more, but I think it's going to be even greater if people can hear where you've come from, if we can just do some type of chronological, going back to the past and bringing us up to now of your timeline. I know you want to share some of the things that you have been through and overcome, and, of course, your great successes that you've achieved up until now. So why don't you go ahead and get us started? Tell us your story.
Okay, absolutely. Well, it began back when I was a child, and I grew up in an environment that was ridden with severe domestic violence. I mean, when is domestic violence ever not severe? The fact that it happens anyway, it's really, really bad. But my father was recruited right out of college by the CIA and IBM. Extremely successful man, very, very charming, charismatic, and people just loved him. But behind closed doors, where my mother was raising five children and one on the way, he was very abusive towards her. She was a beautiful, amazing mother, loved to cook and took great care of us, but they were a very volatile couple. Long story short, it caused my mom, after watching her have her teeth, knocked out, being beaten very badly, it transcended to my older brothers and eventually myself as well. But coming up in that environment, mom was seeking an outlet to get away from the abuse. And, the police wouldn't help. The school counselors would see what was going on in the principals and teachers, but they didn't help us. And so she was kind of left to figure it out on her own. She made a choice to try and stop the abuse, which led her down a different path, which caused further destruction to not only her but to our family. But that was chronicled in my memoir, In Our House, Perception Versus Reality, because the perception of many people's lives isn't typically the true reality. So that's one of the things mm-hmm. that I try and get people to do, is stop hiding behind the perception, because no one can help you if they don't know you need it. That's where it began.
That's true. That's true. So you were in this environment where you witnessed your mother suffering from abuse, and like most families, and of course as a child, you probably and were very helpless in trying to help give your mother the kind of support that she really needed. How did you handle it as a child? What were some of the issues, that it built up in you, and of course you had to carry with you as you grew up?
Well, that's a great question, because you're right. What happened in my childhood, a lot of parents don't realize. They think that they try and shelter their kids from it, and if they can't shelter it and they see it, or they're privy to a lot that goes on or abuse themselves, that as they grow older, they'll let it go and forget about it. But it doesn't. It actually shapes that child, which it did me. It made me very angry. It made me not trust people. I had a lot of doubt. I really, and especially when it came to guys, I was very defensive. And so it really shaped me into a very negative person as I grew older, because I made, my mind when I was a child, I'd never let anyone lay hands on me, ever. And I didn't let that happen. Now, the thing about that was, in doing so, I had a wall up, and I had a lot of defenses and a lot of anger, a lot of animosity that kind of catapulted situations and made it worse. So with that being said, I knew what I needed to do, which was kind of seek forgiveness and move on with my life. And that's what I had to do, is, forgive my father for what happened and my mother for the things that the choices she made, and start to focus on my own life. And when I began to do that, I began to shape my life into something more positive and let go of all that negativity, because it was destroying me. And people don't understand, when I was a child, yes, I was a victim, but I was a grown woman now. I'm no longer a victim, and I had choices to make to keep myself from being such. That's what I had to do, was shape and change my own life, and I changed my mindset, which allowed me to do that.
Can you tell us about what point in your life that you reached that type of maturity? And I say maturity, it probably was more like you were seeing yourself, maybe mirrored, and recognizing that maybe some of your own behaviors were impacting others, like you mentioned, in relationships and things like that. what were the key things that you recognized for yourself that made you stop and think, hey, I got to get myself together. This is not what I want to be like or my life to be like.
Well, when you realize that you can't trust other people, that should tell you, that's a good indication that you don't have healthy relationships. And trust is a big factor in your life with people, with relationships, with your children, with family. It can hurt you. It can help you. And so I realized that I had a very unhealthy state of mind when it came to people and things. And so, you know, I kind of isolated myself a lot from people. I mean, when people read the story and they see what happened to my mother and what her effect was from the abuse, the story transcends into something that's totally unheard of. People are blown away when they read it, and they call me in or write me and say, I've been crying, you know, I can't stop, because it's you know, if you allow something to take place in your life and you don't stop it, sometimes it picks up a little speed and it can change into something else and totally destroy you. And that's what happened with my mother. So with me, carrying that pain and anger around was actually doing the same thing to me, was destroying me. But it wasn't until I had my son and then my daughter 6 years later that I realized, you know, this, I don't want to pass on this anger to my children. I don't want to live like this. I don't want them to see and be a part of the cycle that I was born into. I've got to stop it because this isn't good. And so at that point, I made a conscious decision not to do that, not to be that, to let go of a lot of anger and pain and start to shape myself into really, you know, thinking healthier and doing things to make my children live a healthier life. Because I didn't have it, didn't mean that they couldn't have it too. See, a lot of times we think that, well, hey, this is how we were raised, this is what happened, so we inflict that same pain and that same cycle onto the very people we're supposed to love and protect. That's when I realized I had to change my life so I wouldn't throw them in a cycle that I fought to get out of. Why would I do that?
Right. Well, we know that you have become a wonderful success, and that in itself is inspiring. What I'd like to have you share with people is how you actually did that. That's a conquest that I'm sure a lot of people really don't understand. And the reason that a lot of people don't get past their issues is because they really don't know how to go deep and introspective and pull up roots and change their mindsets and think forward and all of that. So why don't you tell us what was your introspection like, and did you find yourself getting even madder at yourself? Did you have fights with yourself? Did you try and you failed? Tell us about the process of that growth, because right now you're a tremendous motivational speaker. People are going to be inspired, but there had to be periods of that getting to that conquest when you say, ha, I'm whole again. I am everything I was meant to be. But there's a process. So let's hear about the journey of becoming who you are today.
Well, you're absolutely right, because there is a process. It's not like you wake up and you just say, okay, I'm going to change. It's a conscious decision that you have to make. You have to decide, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to duplicate that cycle. And those are the choices that I had to make, and then I had to figure out how. And so, like I said, forgiveness is key. A lot of people don't like to forgive. They say, Marilla, I'm not ready to forgive. I cannot do that. I'm so angry. And I say, you know what? But then you're going to remain a victim and held emotionally hostage to your past for the rest of your life. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's really about you letting go, moving on, and progressing in a healthier way. And so that's what I had to do. I had to forgive not only, you know, the people that hurt my mother, my father, but I had to forgive myself for being so angry, because that angry was transcending over to my, you know, my personal relationship, my business relationships. It just really takes hold of you. If you have a negative state of mind and you go into work every day and you're managing a team of people and working with other people, you're not as productive as you can be because you're not focused. You can't possibly be focused. And I had to realize that I was still allowing myself to be a victim of circumstance. Well, they weren't my circumstances. I didn't choose those. I was a victim of. But I was no longer a victim anymore. I was a grown woman now. So what happened in my past, I used it as fuel once I had my son and then my daughter, to say, you know what, I'm going to use all that negativity and turn it into something positive. I'm going to take those lessons, I'm going to share them so I can teach other people how not to do what I've done, how not to become, you know, angry and bitter and you know, just shut off the world and leave your joy locked on the other side of that wall. And so I started teaching, you know, myself how to be happier, which is focusing on myself, taking great care of my health, you know, loving myself. I had to teach myself how to love myself because I was taught to hate myself. And so once I began to take all the negativity and push it out by allowing, you know, more positive statements and inspiration to infuse inside of me, it started making me look at life differently. I looked at my children, you know, with a glowing look instead of like, I can't do this. And the positivity began to come in. And when it came in, I had to open myself up to it. So whenever anyone or anything, even, you know, with my father, if there were negative words spoken, I had a choice to make. I didn't have to engage in battle that way. So I didn't. I stopped fighting. I stopped fighting to be heard. I stopped fighting someone that wasn't ever going to get it. And so I let it go, and my focus became peaceful. It became loving. It became, you know, inspirational and became something that I felt other people needed to do, which is what the journey I was on. And once I took that journey, I had to share it. Why wouldn't I want to share it with other people and teach them how to do it? So it's a process, but that's what I'm destined to do. I was destined to find the pain in my past had tremendous lessons for me. And those lessons, I went through it for some reason, and I determined that God took me through that path so that I could be of service to other people as well. It was a horrible path. People say it's unimaginable what I went through, but it was what worked for me because now I love who I am. I absolutely love my life. I love life. It's a blessing.
And that's awesome. I want to talk about two things in particular for the process part of it, and it's because we hear it all the time, the forgiveness and the loving yourself. When we talk about forgiveness, I don't think there are very many shows or authors or articles or bloggers or speakers that won't tell us. They'll always say, you got to have forgiveness for things that happened in your past, people that happened in your past, things that happened to you in your past. What I'm wanting us to just give a little breakthrough moment on for people is the reality of taking a look at that, because it's easy to say, and the person, I imagine if you're saying it to them, they're thinking, okay, I forgive them. But you know, I know too, when I look back at people and certain things, that I had to analyze what was going on, and not to me, but with them, so I could make myself understand perhaps some of the underlying factors and reasons that people perpetrate certain behaviors toward you or exist even in whatever way they do. And when you come to an understanding of that helps you forgive, because you realize then that there's certain frailties and faults and failures in everybody, and if they had known better, perhaps they would have done better or differently. So then I'm able to forgive them because they were only acting out they learned and things they knew, what their reality was. It wasn't so much about me, but it happened to me. So those are things that I really want people to see, because you're right. What you have come through is incredible, and it's a lot of people have experienced things, and I want us to be able to help them. But it takes that kind of taking the time to make sure you're being introspective and also allowing yourself to have the insight on what a person's actions may have been, why they may have acted out in a certain type of way toward you. What do you say in regard to that?
I absolutely agree with you because, you know, for example, with my father, his behavior was something that was given to him. It was passed down. And so you do have to understand the mindset. How is it that we can ask when we make a mistake to someone? If you have a child, I can go to my son and say, hey, son, you know, can you forgive mommy? I messed up. I'm sorry about that. And he's going to say, of course, I love you, mommy. Of course I can. But his love for me is unconditional, you see, just like God's is for us. We can say, Father, forgive us, and God will forgive us. We're forgiven. But what is it that we're such a hypocritical people, we're hypocritical human beings to not be able to pass along forgiveness when it serves us to be angry, but when it benefits us, we want to be forgiven. So that's a very hypocritical case, you know, that is in everyone's life that we have trouble doing. And so I tell people, if you want to learn how to forgive, why don't you start from there? Have you ever asked anyone to forgive you for something? And they have. And if they haven't, how did you feel if they didn't? That's a horrible feeling if you are truly seeking forgiveness. But to pass it along a little bit further, one of the problems that we have is that sometimes people that you're so angry with and you won't, you know, pass along that forgiveness for, they don't even know they did something for you. How many times have you seen a talk show where they bring somebody on and they said, you know, she used to call me names when I was a little kid and I was younger, and then this happened to me and my whole life was destroyed. And the guy or the girl looks at him and says, what are you talking about? I don't even know you. You see, sometimes people don't know they hurt you. So that's why you have to let it go. I'm telling you, I've seen that so many times. Like, let it go already. And then you have, you know, the situation where there are people that have hurt you, but they've already, you know, passed on. They're no longer on this earth. And so are you still angry and the person's no longer here? Are you serious? So we really hold on to something that it's a choice to remain emotionally hostage, because people think if we forgive someone, we're letting them off the hook. But then again, for the next person that comes along, what happens to the person that actually got down on their knees and asked God to forgive them for the things they did in this life? And God forgave them, but you can't. Again, we're very hypocritical human beings, and we need to let go, no matter what it is. I'm not saying it's going to be something that you can do that day, but it's a choice we make to let it go. And we all will be judged one day. One day we're going to be judged. Boy, and I'm telling you, I hope there's some things God forgives me for. I know he has, and I'm glad, you see, and that's why it's important to pass it along.
Well, I think it's so important that you brought that particular thing up too, because we always say that to let it go. But the reality of what you're saying and getting to a point of being healthy and whole and balanced, sometimes you just are not going to get everything you think you need to know or learn or experience or from that situation. And the best thing to do is just shut it off. Shut off your thinking about it. Shut off your emotions about it and just let it go. You're absolutely right. If that's the only alternative to you progressing, you just have to do that. And that's a big, bold move, but that's absolutely right. Let's talk about loving yourself, because I remember a time in my life when I first heard that. And I wish I could remember the motivational speaker, but I don't. But what they said was, treat yourself like your own best friend. And that resonated with me, because there were a couple of people in my life that I recognized as best friends. And I'm one of those kinds of friends that if you put best in it, I can proudly say I think I really rank, and I really try to be that. So when I thought about that and how I felt about these individuals, I thought, so I need to reflect that which I understand and do in love and action toward myself. And that opened up my mind in a way. Like, okay, be the extra mile for yourself. Be really kind to yourself. Do special for yourself. It was really awesome for me. And I've lived with that concept regularly, because it really opened up a real creative door for what people call doing you and loving you and all of that. It really just helped me to see there is the kind of love you can give yourself that, and you know, no one else can love you like you do. No person can love you the way you can love yourself. And so I think that's an important insight that people need to have. So you share your perspective on how we do that as well.
Well, I love that you understand how important it is to love yourself, because some people don't. They say, well, I love this person or I love that person. And my response is, no, you don't. Because if you don't know how to love yourself, you really don't know how to love someone else. That's like, come on now. You don't. And so love begins with your self-love. And knowing and understanding that we already have the greatest love of all from God, that's more than enough to me. So I don't need anybody to love me. I just focus on loving myself. And when people see that I love myself and that vibe that I give off from that, trust me, they pick up on it and they get it. And they know if I love myself, I'm going to love them. I love when I see my son. My son will call me, and when I go out to California to visit him, he'll always, when he picks me up and he swings me around, when he sees me at the airport, he'll say, how are you feeling, Mommy? How are you doing? Because I had brain surgery a couple of years ago, so he's always checking on me. And I can tell, he doesn't realize this, I don't think, but I study him. He's looking to make sure that my vibe is good, because as long as I say I'm good, he's happy. I see that's what we give off to people. And I'll say, I'm fine. And he says, really? I said, yeah. And he said, any pain? No. And he smiles. You see, we pass that along. Now, if I didn't love myself and he says to me, how are you feeling, Mommy? And I say, you know what? This hurts, that hurts. I'm not doing well. You know, I'm passing off negativity. And then that's going to bring him down. That sets the tone for time together. So for me, when you love yourself, you don't want to pass along that negativity to others. You don't have it to give. You just have happiness and joy. And investing in yourself by doing the things, like you said, that you love, that allows you to do it. I'm doing what I love right now. I'm spending time with my son and my daughter and having a great time with my family and friends. And it is like, it just makes me happy. And then when I work hard, you know, and I play hard. And I love my life. But you have to invest in taking care of yourself in order to get that mindset. And a lot of times, especially men and women, but especially women, we don't invest in ourselves. We're busy taking care of other people. And we forget how to love ourselves. Loving yourself is making yourself happy, too. Starts there.
Absolutely.
People around you are feeling.
Well, I know. Yes, for sure. You have been on quite the journey, and it's wonderful to hear you and to see the hurdles that you have overcome. You just mentioned something else that was pretty significant in your journey to now, and that is the brain surgery. Why don't you share the details of that, and then we're going to talk about how your projects, your book projects, have unfolded.
Okay. Well, it was almost nearly 3 years ago in May that I had brain surgery, but the cool thing about it was that I followed in my entire life, from the time I was a child, I always followed my intuition, and I call it my God-given intuition. Some people call it intuition, some people call it instincts, but it's a gift that we all have. People will get in their car and follow their GPS to wherever it takes them, but they have something that God gave us, which is our internal tracking system called intuition. And intuition doesn't always make sense because it rises above reason. And that's something that I've accepted and I followed. Now, when I started having, you know, I could tell my body was different. I was having problems with my head. And I would go to the doctor. They would say, no, nothing's wrong. I'd go back again. I would tell my son, it's right here. And I would point to the spot that it hurt. I said, something's wrong there. And I would go back to another doctor. They'd run tests, and they said, no, there's nothing wrong. You know, we can try and put you on this. And I said, no, I'm telling you, it's right here. So I would go to another doctor. Long story short, I was relentless in giving up. I knew that God was speaking to me, and I could feel it, I could tell. Although they couldn't see it, God could. So finally, my family physician found a neurosurgeon specialist that ran some tests on me, and they saw that I had not one aneurysm, but multiple brain aneurysms. And when where I kept showing where my finger was,
wow.
And I would say it's right here, that's exactly where it was in my head, exactly where it was. So I had to... you know, I went to a lot of people, a lot of doctors wouldn't do the surgery. They said because it was in a bad area. So I actually held on to knowing I had brain aneurysms for nearly 6 years. And, you know, they told me if anyone did attempt it, I would either A, be a vegetable, or I would die. So my son came to the hospital, brought our little dog. I said, you know what, I'm going home today. God told me to go home. So I took out the IV myself and left the hospital. 6 years later, the pain, you know, I still dealt with it. I could still tell I knew. And they gave me basically at that time when they diagnosed me, they said, you probably will only have a week to live. I didn't really have, you know, I didn't have any other choices. They said, this is not good. So I said, okay, well, you know, thanks for your advice, but I'm going to listen to God. I went on with my life. 6 years later, came back again, went to another neurosurgeon, and he told me the procedure that he wanted to do was very different. And he said, you know what, I'm pretty confident that we can clip these. And so I said, yeah, but the other surgeon said, and he said, they're not me. That's what I needed to hear. So I had my family came in, my eldest brother and my husband and my son and my daughter, and I had the surgery. I didn't tell anybody else. I told Tyrese, who's a friend of mine, and Tyrese prayed for me over the phone, just prayed and prayed for healing. And after I went in, I shaved my head, completely bald, and I said, Father, do with me what you will. And I came to the surgery with flying colors. Now, with that being said, I had to overcome, you know, speech and things like that and memory loss and things, but I kept fighting to get it back, even though I was told that I probably wouldn't. And that was my intuition that kept telling me what to do and following God's intuition about my health. If I had not done that, I wouldn't be here today. But it brought about the power of really focusing and telling people, you know, we really always say, I knew that was going to happen. You know, I should have listened. I kind of felt that. And that's our intuition constantly speaking to us. And I've taught my son and my daughter to follow their intuition throughout life, and they have. And so that's what brought us to doing my latest project that comes out next week, or actually on March 31st, which is called Intuition. And it's my first novel that I authored with my daughter, Alyssa Curry, in an effort to share the power of following and trusting what God has given all of us. Sometimes we have too much negativity that suppresses it, and you can't hear that voice anymore. You can't feel that sensation anymore. But if you tune into the right things and clean out all the negativity out of your life, you'll be surprised what your intuition can do for you. It's so powerful, intuition.
And I love what you described it as. You said it's God's tracking system.
Yes.
Within us. That's beautiful. I really like that, because sometimes people put across intuition as this woo-woo-woo thing that, you know, is kind of otherworldly, and, well, of course,
right.
Even based on what you said, it is, but not in the negative or mysterious sense. It's a real operating system in us that gives us valuable information, and I think that's a key thing that can be said. So that's going to be launching next week, and that's wonderful. Congratulations on that.
Well,
tell
well,
us about your other books and how they were birthed and what the main mission and message is with those.
Well, you know, I actually, In Our House was my memoir, and it really talks about overcoming adversity. And that's the book that I became Oprah's Ambassador of Hope on, because of the message that I share about, you know, those things. And it was truly an honor from her to be named an Ambassador of Hope, and she has 5 worldwide. So that's what I spread my message when I'm going out and teaching people. You know, hope to me is a stepping stone. It's a beautiful stepping stone to what I call faith. If you always have hope and you hold on to hope, you'll keep having hope. It's meant to lead you to believing, to trusting. And that's faith. And once you have faith, you really don't need hope anymore. And so I teach people that. It's meant to lead you to greater, better, where you kind of understand it. And when you have faith, you will really understand the power of intuition. And so In Our House, Perception versus Reality was my memoir. And then I did Surrounded by Inspiration, which actually, you know, came from all the pain and everything that I had in our house. But it allowed me to see that even my darkest hours, I was still surrounded by inspiration. We all are. If you think about that little child, you may have cancer and you're having a hard time dealing with it, as anyone would and should, but what about that baby that was born with cancer, or that little boy that's in the hospital and he's fighting it, but when his mother goes to see him every day, she's crying and he's sitting there dealing with it, everything that he has to go through. You see, that's inspiration. You think of the things that you see people that are living on the streets and they still can smile at you and say, have a good day. That's inspiration. Sometimes we victimize ourselves and feel so sorry for ourselves that we need to look at other things to make us think we really don't have it as bad. There's other people that have it much worse. And if you focus on other people, it would actually heal and help heal you in so many different ways. It's, you can't even measure that. But after that, I did a book called Bad to the Bone for a young man. I do ghostwriting as well. But this book, Bad to the Bone, is my third book, and it was about a young man named David Tuckerill Jr. who found out that he had leukemia at the age of 25. And like me, he didn't know, he knew something was wrong, but he didn't know it was that. And when he found out, which was on Christmas Eve, his his whole world went into a tailspin and took his family along with it. So the story and how he overcame that and you know, getting a bone marrow donor and his life, how it's changed to this point, is so powerful. And that's, I love to share inspirational stories. And last week we just released the story, Invisible Girl, with a young lady, Cynthia Luce, who just put it out through We Do Publishing with Seraph Books. And we only do, you know, inspirational stories. And so I love the aspect that people will call us and ask me to go write a story for them or do things with them or work with them and consult on projects. And I will only take it if it's something that's going to change people for the better. It's going to inspire someone or help someone get through something that they don't know how. And so we make choices to do books and publish books, or, you know, for me, I write books that will change lives. And that's all we will do. It's about making a difference in this world and leaving a positive imprint. And so Intuition is, you know, the book that I've chosen to do with that. And my son, through Seraph Books, has a book coming out next called This Is Why You're Single. And it's we just have a positive flow of teaching people. You know, you want to know why you're single, I'll tell you. You know, I'm single, but I'm single by choice. But this is why people are single. So he gives so many life examples of, you know, women he's dated and friends that he's known and some of his buddies that, you know, are single and why they're choosing to be single. But we send out a plethora of books that really change lives. And so that's what my focus is. And, you know, I've been inspired. God's worked miracles in my life, and so I want to pass that along to people.
Yes, for sure. Did you feel when you wrote your books that they served as a type of therapy for you when you wrote them? Did you kind of feel when you were done with each that there was a big exhale? I know many people feel like they've been very pregnant or full with an idea or story or message, and when they get it out, they find themselves in another level or in another place, having, you know, put the pen to the paper and gotten the story out. What was it like for you?
You just nailed it. That's exactly why I write, because it's therapeutic for me. That was such a relief to get all the negativity of my childhood out. If you don't know how to do it, instead of keeping it in and suppressing it, once I began to put it out there on paper, sometimes your perception of what happened is a little bit different, because you can maybe place blame where it belongs or remove the blame from where it doesn't belong. Maybe it helps you to understand, hey, I was a child, and, you know, he was a young, you know, father, or she was a young mother. They didn't know what they were doing. Their choices were bad. But you start to remove some of the anger, hate, rage, and things that are negative. So it was very therapeutic for me. And when I write and work with my clients, that's what they get from it. We work basically to say, how do you remove that negativity or that perception that you have or the anger that's hurting you from you while we're doing this project? And that's the biggest thing that we do, is focus on the therapy aspect of kind of like, let this heal you. Let this help you. Let this understand. And once it's out of you, leave it out. But use it as a lesson to help others. Instead of keeping it to yourself and being angry, say, you know what, this is wrong with me, something like this. But let me show you what I did wrong, and let me show you what I should have done, or let me show you what I did right. Why don't we use our negative experiences or painful experiences to help others either, A, not go through that, or, B, to heal and recover from it? That's what we do. That's why I write. That's what I love.
When you wrote your memoir, what do you think was the hardest part to express? What part of it did maybe you found yourself with a deep gulp or feeling some intense pain at that point? What part of your memoir maybe affected you in that way?
That's a great question. I would have to say the entire memoir, because it was, my life was what people say. When they read it, they said, I've never read anything like that, nothing that horrible in their entire life. They can't even imagine that happening in our house. And they said, they just cry. It just hurts, because they said, for children to witness and experience that, it's greater than abuse. The problems and the things that took place in our house are just unimaginable. So when I started to pen that, the pain started coming back as if it was yesterday. And so having to deal with that while I was writing, I did a lot of crying as well. But it was a release. It was a good release, because it was coming out of me. So looking back at my mother and, you know, writing about her death and what led to it, you can see it. You see it. It doesn't ever go away, but it actually helped me accept everything. And so it was a painful project, and people feel that pain when they read it. And I wanted them to, because I want them to know how to avoid what my mother encountered, which no human being should ever encounter, and very few
I certainly agree with you. It is something that is, you know, it's beyond even describing the frustration and the anguish that any of us feel in regard to those types of circumstances. They need to stop, and people need to realize it's so abnormal to be in an existence like that. I don't care how many generations before it had been happening. It's not a normal behavior. It's not ever going to reap any kind of healthy reward. So I know that your story has to offer that kind of messaging to people, and it's going to help a whole lot. I'm on a similar mission to create awareness in those areas, that because I know that it will save lives, not just physically, but it'll save futures in young women and young men from having to go through this. When you wrote about the inspiration, what kinds of things were able to help you that made you feel happier in the midst of those environments, that environment that you could call it, inspiring?
Well, you know, sometimes we're so focused on the negative aspects of things, we forget about all the positivity we're surrounded by, which is inspiration. And, you know, as much as that environment was painful and the horror that took place in our house, and I literally do mean horror, I made it out of there, you see? I made it out of there with my faculties, with my health. I had to rebuild it, of course, my mindset into a healthier mindset, but I made it out of there. And so just achieving something that I didn't even think I would do, that was inspirational. And then I realized every morning that I wake up, you know, and my feet touch the ground and I stand up, that's inspiration to me. You know, I have so much to be thankful for. I have less to worry about. I really don't have anything to worry about, because anything that I encounter in my life that is a problem, there's a solution. There is a solution, no matter what it is. It may not be the solution you want, but there is a solution that can help you heal or move on for something. And when I understood that, it helped change my life. So, you know, it's no matter what we go through, it depends on how we look at things. I choose to see things from a more positive perspective. And it doesn't mean I always see that. Sometimes I see the negative first. But when I analyze it a little bit more, I'm like, I'm going to look at it this way. And again, that's what shapes the way you think. The way your mind is, that's how your life is. If it's negative and you look around, your life is filled with negativity. But if you have a positive outlook on life and you see things, you know, in a good way instead of a negative way, and so you wake up and you see, you know, it's kind of funny because it'll be pouring raining outside. And I wake up and say, the flowers are going to start popping up sooner instead of, gosh, here we go with a dreary day. Now, you know, I'm in Ohio, and Ohio's always overcast. I'm telling you, it's always overcast. But we get beautiful flowers, and guess what? The grass is lush and green and pretty. And so I love the grass in Ohio. You come out to California, I love it out in California. My son is here. But they don't have that beautiful grass we have in Ohio. They don't get as much rain as we get. So it depends on how you look at things. That's what I choose to see. Okay, there's a problem, but where's the inspiration out of the problem? That's what I look for. That changed my life.
Yes, for sure. You're talking my language. Now, what I've jotted down here are a couple of things, and I want you to share as much as you can, perhaps with some additional strategies. I wrote down, for people who are wanting to reach a better place, to overcome adversity, to triumph over obstacles, to find hope, to build faith, you said something at the top of our conversation that is probably the most critical turning point, and that was to make a conscious decision. Some people find it hard when they're wallowing in pity or something truly tragic has happened that is beyond anything they can wrap their head around in that moment. You know the story. You know I've right. experienced tragedy too, so I understand that place. However, I feel fortunate that I didn't lose my mind, because I was able to just deal with the reality and then just found that inkling. And believe me, it was just an inkling, so tiny, of hope to keep me from sinking into a big black hole. But I would say to anybody that same thing. You do have to make a conscious decision just on that little bit of, like, teeny-weeny-bitty inkling, twinkling of hope that somehow, I may not know how right now, I may not see the big picture. I can't see even into the next second without just thinking about it. But make a conscious decision that somehow, some way, you're going to come back to where you need to be. So when you made your conscious effort, why don't you talk about that? But that's kind of where I was in a particular area where I faced a great deal of despair and discouragement and devastation. That's where I was. I couldn't see really into my future more than a second or two of trying to make it. But I do know there was still somewhere in underlying all of that a conscious decision to say somehow you will.
Yeah, you know, that's what I tell people is that I had to go through that, is that we actually make a conscious decision to be unhappy. So basically you're undoing that negative thought process by making a conscious decision to be happy. We make a conscious decision to get up and go to work. We make a conscious decision to feed ourselves if we're hungry. We make a conscious decision to buy what we want from the store. So why can't we take that same consciousness in our choices and apply it to the most critical part of our life where we need it, which is towards our happiness? And so with me, it's one thing if you realize that you're hurting yourself, and that's what you choose to do. You're making a choice to do that. A lot of people do when they say, well, my mother did this to me. My father did this to me. I apply that to children that are helpless. And I was a child when the things took place in our house, and there was nothing that we could do about it, and no one helped us. However, when you grow up, you can make a conscious decision to help other people from going through that, and the pity and the pain and the focus will come off of you. So it's about changing your journey and your focus. And when you decide, okay, well, if I'm hurting this bad, what can I do to stop others from hurting like this too? Take it off of you. Get out of your own way and say, let me go ahead and take it to someone else and see how I don't want them to feel this. I don't want my son, my friend, you know, my coworker, or anyone in the church or a stranger to feel or go through what I'm going through. So what can I do to change your life? And when you start to focus on others, that conscious choice to shape your life will bring more positivity and inspiration into your own. It's karma. It's crazy the way it comes back to you because you're no longer focused on yourself. We wallow in self-pity, and that pity doesn't mean it was never earned. It doesn't mean you can't do that. It just means we stay there. We stay a victim. Stop being a victim. Allowing yourself to be victimized for the rest of your life, you'll begin to live. If you're going to be a victim and you're going to think about and talk about what happened in the past, we all know you cannot change history. That's why it's called history. You can't change it. So knowing that, the only thing we can do is move on from it. And if you can shape the course of your future, but you can never change your past. So get out of it. Stop living in it. That's the
yes,
kind of
I like that. I like. I really like that, especially another thing we've heard a lot about going, you know, do something to help somebody else, but that really does work because it takes your, by the time you get in the mix of trying to help somebody else be encouraged or inspired or helped, it really, you find that emotion turned into something positive and you walk away from it actually feeling better each time. It's really,
you know,
true, so that's wonderful.
You're right. You're right. I mean, every time I go speak or someone writes me about one of my books and they tell me how they feel or how it's changed them, oh, my gosh, it makes my life and everything I've gone through so worth it. It really does. As painful as it was, the pain is long gone for me now. It's long gone because I know I'm helping other people not be in that space that I was. That's more powerful than what I went through. Like I said, that lesson, those many, many lessons that came out of my childhood, they were meant to shape me into who I am so I can do what I'm doing now. This is my destiny, and I love it. So if you're in pain and you're hurting and you can't move yourself off of that place, that's not your destiny. That's not what you're here on this earth to be doing. That's not it. So you've got to get up and change that. Go for what you love. Start where you find yourself from a place that you really, what did you enjoy? What did you like about yourself? What did you used to do that made you happy and brought that to you? Go find that. Because you can't find happiness in other people. Other people don't make you happy. That's something that derives from within. So you got to start there.
A couple of the other things we mentioned was forgiveness, loving yourself. What would be a couple of other things before we start to wrap that would be key things that you would tell people in regard to being able to stay in the race, stay in the ring, keep moving forward, believing in yourself and knowing that there really is a special place and appointment here for you?
Well, I tell people the way I was able to overcome so much adversity, for me, it was my faith in God, because I've seen the miracles that he's worked in my life. And when I look back, a lot of people, they look back at the negativity, but I look back and see what I overcame. I mean, it's kind of funny because people say, oh, I can't make it through and I can't do this. And I, you know, they use that word can't like it's the only one that they can hold on to. And I say, you know, why don't you say I am going to overcome this. But when I look back on my life and I see what I came through, I'm just like, wow, are you serious? I made it through that? So now I look at my life and say, I can make it through anything. If I made it through that, yeah. But how many things is it there in your life that you can actually turn around and say, I never thought I was going to get that job. I never thought I was going to meet somebody that loves me the way this person does. I never thought that, you know, I would have a child. I never thought that I could let this go and have a relationship with my mother or with my father. I never thought, and then you have it. Well, that's called overcoming adversity. You just did it. So look at the things that you accomplished instead of the things that you failed at doing. Your failures are meant to bring you strength. They're lessons. They're meant to teach you. And if you didn't fail, you wouldn't learn. So you have to look at things from positive light. Look at the best side of life.
Well, I totally agree with you, and the reason I'm asking these questions isn't to challenge you. It's just that I always try to spin it so that people can really get an understanding of it. Sometimes it's real hard for people to spin it when they're in the midst of it. You're absolutely right, but they do have to flip the script. You have to ask yourself, how can this serve me as a lesson? And that's probably the best place to begin. How can I get some light of wisdom from it? How can it provide a light, a lamp for other people? You're absolutely right. And I don't think there's anything that anybody has gone through that those three things cannot be highlighted, whatever you have gone through. And when you see that, that's when you know that you have purpose, that there is a plan, and that, you know, whatever you have gone through, like you said, can turn out to feel like it had a sense of it happened, but look at what it's able to do in the lives of others, since I know that now. And something else I want to mention that you just said, when you said, I can make it, And I read something yesterday that I was really enlightening for me, the difference between an affirmation and a declaration. To say I can make it is an affirmation, but to say I am going to make it, that's a declaration.
Right.
And I love it.
I love it. Too.
I thought, you know what? I sat down and wrote out about 20 things that were previously affirmations. Declarations. I thought, okay, I didn't even realize myself I was saying this a little bit wrong. So let me take myself to another level on it. So that's wonderful, and that's exactly what I wanted to have you share. It's been amazing talk. You just are such an inspiration to so many in so many ways, and just proud to know you and have you on my show today. I'd like for you to tell people what you're currently doing as far as their ability to connect with you, your website, where they can get your book. Well, I know your books are on Amazon.com, but why don't you share whatever you'd like to at this point? Maybe some people in your area could even, you know, reach out or see you wherever you might be speaking.
Well, thank you, but I do agree with you. I tell people I am are the two most powerful words in the universe, and so I am on Twitter, I am on Facebook, and I am on MarilaScott.com. You can find me if you want to smile in the morning or in the afternoon, or you need something to lift your spirit or touch your soul just right, you'll find it, because anything that I put out, if it's not positive, you can't find it with me. And so change your mindset, change your life. You can find me on Amazon. And again, my book called Intuition with my daughter, Alyssa Curry, comes out on the 31st. It's powerful, I tell you. It will change your life and your outlook. You got to believe. You have to trust something. And it's called faith. Have faith.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for taking time to share your amazing self with us. And I wish you so much continued success. And I really hope for the opportunity to see and meet you in person, and I hope I can make that happen.
Right.
Do you have a
I love that.
Schedule on your yeah, on your website that we can take a look at, or a calendar?
I actually do. When I travel and I'm speaking, it's always updated. And right now I'm doing a lot of ghostwriting, so I kind of stay, you know, hidden in the cabin and write. I have four projects coming out this month, and I love it. I love what I'm doing. But, yeah, I travel quite often, so I love to make that happen. Thank you.
Okay, well, much continued success. Go get them, girl.
You got it. And thanks for creating this platform, allowing us to share the inspiration we want people to feel. So thank you so much for what you do.
Well, thank you, too. You're talking my language, so the more the merrier.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day. I look forward to contacting you again.
Awesome. You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, incredible listeners, for being a part of today's program. I had some technical difficulties both trying to send out some information from the Blog Talk Radio website and also getting the chat window up, what has been now 2 weeks in a row. There are some technical difficulties with that, so I apologize if anybody was trying to make contact that way. Want to, again, thank my wonderful guest, Morale Scott, for being on the Foxology stage today, and encourage you to take a look at the wonderful works that she has in process at www.maralascott.com. Keep your eyes peeled for another show that's coming up this week, a special edition of Foxology, and I'll be featuring Sandra Champlain, who is the author of We Don't Die. And it was a show that was scheduled a few weeks ago, and unfortunately she became ill and was not able to make her special guest appearance, but she'll be with me on Thursday, so keep your eyes open for that information on my social media platforms. I'll look forward to talking to you again then. Have yourself an amazing day, and thank you again for listening.